I want to just read one verse to begin this morning, and that's Mark 9, verse 19. And then we're going to look at verses preceding that verse and then verses that follow that verse. But Mark 9, 19, these are the words of Jesus, brethren, as you see in your Bible. The Word of God says, "He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And I want to concentrate on that last phrase there. Jesus is speaking to the father of a young man. I believe he was a young man. And he says to the father, "Bring him unto me." That's the theme this morning of the title of our lesson. Without reading further, I want to pray again, brethren. Our Father, oh God, we do thank you for this place, as Brother Jason already expressed, this place dedicated to your honor and glory. We thank you for this place. We thank you for the felt presence of your Holy Spirit in this place, in this meeting. We ask again, Lord, that you would come. We beseech you, Lord, come and aid us in worship now. As we open your word, oh God, come and teach us by your Holy Spirit. Give me, I pray, the right words to say, oh God. Lead me, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Let good seed find fertile ground, O God. May we all hear and receive with gladness your word today. May we grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Help us in worship. As Brother Jason reminded us a number of times, may we worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth in this hour. And we give you the praise and the glory for it, O God. Please bless those on the prayer list, so many. We give you thanks for good reports, and we ask your blessing upon those suffering and undergoing tests. We ask, Lord, that you would bless. We bring them to you in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bring them to you. Jesus said, "Bring him unto me." These verses we're going to read today are probably very familiar to you. A man had a son who was possessed with a demon. And I think that this account is in three of the Gospels, I believe. I didn't read the other accounts, but I think it's in the other Gospels. But we're studying the account Mark gives us today. I want to back up for context. We learned in our Bible study this morning that context is a very important thing. As you read a Bible verse, you interpret Scripture with Scripture. And we go, I would just say to you that the Word of God here tells us that Jesus is just, if we look at the early part of this chapter, you'll see that it covers the transfiguration of Jesus in the beginning in the second verse. Jesus goes up onto a high mountain apart, and he takes with him Peter, James, and John, and he is there transfigured. A mountaintop experience. He speaks there with Moses and Elijah. And God the Father manifests himself there. Certainly a wonderful, wonderful experience. One for Christ Jesus himself and one for Peter, James, and John. But while they're up on the Mount of Transfiguration, the other nine apostles are down. And when Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration, this is what he finds, brethren. Go to verse 14 in chapter 9. "And when he came to his disciples," that would be the nine that were there, "he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them." He comes, brethren, to tumult. We've been studying in these last yesterday about the work of Jesus and how busy he was. Multitudes thronged him. They followed him wherever he went, which was good. But Jesus was all man and all God, truly man, truly God. And his flesh got tired and exhausted. He told the apostles at one point to, "Let's come away apart into a desert place, into a quiet place." But we know that the crowds followed him there. They found where he was and they followed him. And he taught them from the sea. He got in a boat and the multitude was on the shore. We studied about him feeding 5,000 and feeding 4,000. I mean, he's a busy man. And he had a relatively short time on the earth to get the work done, to do the teaching, and to perform the works of God. And so he comes from this mountaintop experience, and I guess it's of God, but sometimes, I know Jesus was fully God, but because he was fully man also, brethren, I sometimes think, how would I feel if I came down from a mountaintop experience to find my nine apostles there into it with the scribes? The scribes and Pharisees had essentially a running battle going with Jesus all through his earthly ministry. They challenged him at every hand. They plotted against him. They tried to trap him in his talk, in his teaching, and ultimately plotted to kill him. So he's there with the scribes, and they're questioning with the nine disciples. And verse 15, "And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him." Here they come. Here comes the multitude again. And he asked the scribes, Jesus does, "What question ye with them?" More or less, what's going on? What are you arguing about now? What are you challenging my disciples with now? And so, when he asked that question, we read in verse 17, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." That's the way it's described in this verse, and we'll see in subsequent in a verse. It's called a foul spirit that Jesus challenges. This father says, "I have brought unto thee my son." Verse 18, the father begins to describe the horrible, the horrendous fix that this boy is in. Verse 18, "And wheresoever he taketh him," the spirit taketh this boy, "he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away." And so there, brethren, is a sad description, this father's description of his son. And he says this, it gets worse. He says, "And I spake to thy disciples," this would be the nine that were there while Peter, James, and John were with Jesus on the mountain, "I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." Sometime before this, Jesus had sent the disciples out, the apostles out two by two, and he'd empowered them to teach, to preach, and to cast out spirits, it says. But this man says, "I brought my son to the disciples, and they could not cast him out." Now we come to verse 19, which was the one we read first today, and we see Jesus' answer, Jesus' response. He says to the father, and I think he's saying to the scribes also, who didn't believe on him and refused to believe on him. He says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" I don't think Jesus was speaking to his disciples at this point, because they weren't faithless, but they might have had a little faith. They might have had less faith than they should have. But he's certainly speaking, I believe, to the scribes. And he says, "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" And if you read on a couple of chapters over, you'll see that Jesus is about to go into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry, the week before Holy Week, as we call it. He's about to go to the cross. How long? Not long is Jesus going to be there. And then he says, I believe, to the Father, "Bring him unto me." I told you two or three times yesterday that as I've been reading through Mark, certain verses will jump out to me. And as I was reading some days ago, reading this account, those words, "bring him unto me," spoke to me in particular. I believe the Spirit was moving in me as I was trying to study and pray as to what I might preach to you about. The words, "bring him unto me." Comforting, comforting words. A father here is powerless to deliver his son. The disciples of Jesus, who are invested with certain powers from our Lord himself, powerless to deliver this boy. And Jesus says, "Well, bring him to me." I thought of this, I wanted to share with you. My doctor, he sent me to a specialist this week. I have had a limp in my left leg for 3 or 4 years, and I had back surgery way back, and he says it may be related to that, or it may be something else. But anyway, my doctor said, "I want to send you to my friend." He's a rheumatologist. I think is what he is. And I'm going to call him. He said, you'll be hearing from him. And so a couple of days later, sure enough, the doctor's office called. And of course, I want to find out what, if anything's wrong, what's causing it, and want to be treated by this physician. And so the lady on the phone was saying to me, can you come in on this date, certain date? It was actually Friday of this week. And my plan was to come up here on Friday. And this doctor's in Valdosta. And I felt like if I went to Valdosta Friday morning, I'd be late getting up here. And I already had to stop in Macon. So I said, ma'am, I don't think I can come on. It was Thursday, and I had something else to do on Thursday. And I said, I can come Friday, I think. And so I think I've got my days right. Anyway, the date that she wanted me to come, I couldn't make it. And so I said to her, ma'am, I could come, and I believe it was Friday that I said that I could come. And she said, well, let me see. And she put me on hold. She said, you stay on hold, and I'll be back with you. And while I was on hold, here's the thoughts in my mind. My doctor in Tipton says, I need to see this doctor in Valdosta. I want to see this physician. I want him to see me. I want him to examine me. I hope I can see. And she came back on the line and said, can you come at 4:00 on Friday? And I said, yes, I can. And so she said, well, hold on a minute. And so I said to myself, well, she's going in there now to talk to the physician. And I said, 4:00. I said, this is just my thinking. That may be his last appointment. He's going to put me last, but I'm going to get in there. She's going to bring me to him. That's what I wanted. And when she came back on the line and said, you can be here at 4, right? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, come at 4:00. She brought me to him. The ailment that I'm suffering from, whatever it is, the physician is going to address it. And I went, and he did. He saw me and talked with me and did a little test, drew some blood, and we're waiting on the results. But the fact, brethren, that when I got off the phone with that woman, she said, I knew she's bringing me to him. I'm getting in there. Isn't that a comfort when you say, I can get in? You ever talk to the physician's office and they say, sorry, we can't see you. It's going to be 31st of October or something like that. And my wife, she probably wouldn't want me to tell you this, but with her knee, she's been taking some pain pills. And in our ignorance, you know, we think we know more than others. People told us for months coming up to this surgery, now take the pain pills like they tell you to. Her doctor, even the two of us sitting in with her doctor, he said, now, Jan, take the pain pills. He knew her personally, knows her. He said, take the pain pills. He said, you will not get addicted. Take the pain pills. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We will. You know what we did? After about a day, we stopped. She said, I'm not hurting that bad. But about 8 hours later, we realized our mistake. And so we got back on them. And you know how silly we are? About a day later, we stopped again. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? So we started back again. And so I was setting my clock, my alarm, every 4 hours, 24 hours a day. And we back on those things. And I don't know what she's done in my absence. I hope she's staying on them. But I'm going back to check on her. But brethren, the thing is, it is wonderful when the physician says, come in, and you're brought to the physician. And this daddy, brethren, the great physician has said, bring your boy to me. Don't you know that that was a great comfort to that daddy? When it's your child, brethren, your loved one, and you're helpless to do anything about it, but the great physician says, I'll see you. I'll give you an appointment. I'll check you out. I'll treat you, oh, brethren. So verse 20, and they brought him unto him. They, whoever was around this daddy and this daddy, they brought this boy to the Lord, to the great physician. Now verse 20, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. I believe, brethren, that first he there pronoun is when the spirit, brethren, saw Jesus. Look what happened. The spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. What a hideous sight that must have been. It scares me to read about it. I wouldn't want to be seeing it, witnessing, eyewitnessing that. What a bad thing is going on here. Because, brethren, sin is bad, and Satan is bad, and he hates our Lord. And he began to act out in this boy. And Jesus said in verse 21, and he asked his father. Jesus asked the father as this boy is wallowing on the ground and foaming. How long is it ago since this came unto him? How long has he been sick like this? You know, that's the doctor. What the doctor asked me. Every doctor I've been to lately, how long you had this problem? Part of their job. Take the history, I'm sure. Helps them diagnose. How long has this been going on? You think Jesus didn't know the answer here, brethren? You think Jesus didn't know that? I think he asked, brethren, for my benefit and your benefit and the benefit of the multitude of people who are hearing this conversation. Because this Eddie's going to say, since he was a child. He's been like this just about all his life. That's a tough one, isn't it? Didn't just come on him last week. He's lived like this for years. He's been like this. No problem for the great physician, brethren. No problem. 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 15 years. No problem for the great physician. He asked him, how long has this been, brethren? So we would know that this boy has been sick most of his life. Verse 22, and the daddy says, not only has it been most of his life, often it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. That's Satan, brethren. Satan will destroy, if he will destroy you. He will occupy your mind if he can. He will control your thoughts if he can. He will destroy you if he can. How many instances have you heard of in the last few years where some tortured soul has taken a gun and killed 15 people and then turned the gun on themselves and killed themselves? When we hear about that, my wife and I will hear that on the news or read about it, and she shakes her head and says, what's going on? And you know what my response is? Satan is having a field day. Do you agree? He's having a field day. He's laughing when that happens. We read it. We read it and our hearts are troubled. And we read that a gunman killed 5 or 10 or 15 people and then killed himself. Satan has prevailed in that atmosphere. He's won. He's won it. He's destroyed lives. But oh, brethren, he won't get this one right here. Because the great physician is there. And the daddy says, after he tells Jesus about this condition, he says, but if thou canst do anything, if you can. Could he? Would you say that to Jesus? If you can? You know what I say, brethren, to him? Lord, you can. If it's your will, please do it. I know you can. That's what I say, and that's my prayer. I know you have all power. It's given to you, all power. You're omniscient. You know everything. You're omnipotent. Nothing. None can stay your hand or say unto you, what are you doing? I know you can, Lord, and I pray that you will, if it be your will. But this daddy, he says, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. Have you heard that word, compassion, lately? Yesterday, I was here reading to you about the multitudes, the 5,000 and the 4,000. Jesus said, in both cases, I have compassion on the multitude. He's a compassionate Savior, brethren. He had compassion on us. He went to the cross for us to save us. The daddy says, have compassion on us and help us. He doesn't just say, help my boy. Because if he's helped the boy, he's helping the daddy at the same time, isn't he? Can't avoid it. Help us. There's a verse in one of the Psalms, that just says, help, Lord. Help thy people. Sometimes that's my prayer. Help, Lord. Two-word prayer. Help. Another one is, Lord, have mercy. In Peter's prayer on the sea as he was sinking, Lord, save me. Three-word prayer. They don't have to be elaborate, do they? Just from the heart, brethren. You recognize the need, and it comes straight from the heart. Can you daddies out there identify with this, or moms that have children? Lord, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, I was reading in John Gill's commentary, and he reminds us that Jesus answered the man sort of replied to the man sort of like the man's statement to Jesus. The man said, if thou canst do anything, and Jesus says, if thou canst believe. He's used the word if too. He said, oh yeah, I can. Can you? Can you believe on me? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's right. Now, verse 24, brethren, his daddy says, and straightway, when Jesus said, if you can believe, it's possible. The daddy says, he cries out, and with tears, he says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, man, what a statement. What a statement. I read a devotion most every day, a devotion book. It's written by Charles Spurgeon. It's called Morning and Evening. And just a few days ago, it's amazing how, it's not amazing, but it's a blessing how God works and shows us what he does and that he's working with us and in us. It was about 3 days ago, Spurgeon used this text as the basis for his morning devotion. And you know what he said about this statement here, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He said this, no case is hopeless while Jesus lives. Think about that. Think about that. That's a short little statement. No case. You have on your prayer list some sordid cases, don't you? And I do on mine. But no case is hopeless while Jesus lives. Jesus living now? Jesus going to be living tomorrow? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. No case is hopeless while Jesus lives. Just bring it to Christ. Just bring it to him. John Gill said about this statement, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. This is what he said. Every believer at one time or another finds himself in this man's case, and also that it is necessary to make use of the same petition. I have to say that. I say that from time to time. Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Help it. Help it. Help me to believe more. Help me to believe more. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, there's a crowd now all around him, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Get gone and stay gone. Get out and stay out. Don't come back. Jesus charged the spirit. Brethren, when Jesus charges, when Jesus speaks, brethren, it happens. It happens. The apostles had tried and they had failed. But Jesus, our Lord, the omnipotent one, who had compassion on this young man, he charged the spirit to depart. Come out of him and don't come back. And the spirit cried and rent him sore. Brethren, Satan doesn't give up easily. You know that? He doesn't give up easily. You know that from experience. And I know it from experience. But he came out. And he came out of him. And the boy, as he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. He's laying there. You probably couldn't see him breathing. He'd stop moving, stop howling and acting like a demon. He's just there. Lifeless, it appeared. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. And he arose. Life. Brethren, we were dead in trespasses and sins. And none could cure that. None could cure it but the great physician. And he had compassion on us. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. He came to us in our waste, howling wilderness, enjoying the things of the world and things of Satan. But he came to us in his compassionate way and in his omnipotent way. And he cast Satan out and he gave us life and he put his spirit in us and he raised us up from the dead, death and trespasses and sins. And he gave us life. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. He's lifted us up, brethren. Lord, he lifted me. He lifted me. And so the miracle is now over, brethren. The boy's whole, been made whole. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus went into some house. Could have been the boy's house, I don't know, but if some house that was nearby. The disciples asked Jesus privately, why could we not cast him out? Why couldn't we do that? Jesus' response, verse 29, and he said unto them, this kind. So there are different kinds, brethren, of demons and devils. This kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Brethren, you and I face demons. We face illness. We face trouble. We face things that are beyond our control. But the way to prevail over them, brethren, is to bring them to Jesus. There's a woman in my family that has an addiction. And if you spend very much time around her and you listen to her, she talks all kinds of lies and excuses, and she just doesn't do what she needs to do. And I'll tell you, she's way beyond my power. But you know what I do? I bring her to Jesus. I'm just resigned now. I've prayed long prayers, and I've told God my ideas and what I think she needs. And you know why? I'm to the point right now of just saying, Lord, have compassion, have mercy. I just bring her to you, Lord, and I leave it there. I leave it there. And that's a good feeling. I bring her to Jesus. And if he heals her, she'll be healed. If he doesn't, it's not his will. But I bring her. I bring her oft times. I bring her to Jesus. And my problems that I have that are, most of them are way beyond my control, I bring them to Jesus. Jesus says, bring him unto me. As I was reading this week, those words jumped out at me. And I hope it was the Lord saying, I want you to share that with the people at Northside. I hope that's what it was. I hope that's why he did it. And I hope, brethren, good seed has found fertile ground. I hope it comforts you. I hope it instructs you to pray and fast. If you feel the Spirit leading you that way. But bottom line, brethren, bring them to Jesus. Just bring them to Jesus. Take your burden to the Lord. And you can leave it there. Because it's in good hands, brethren. It's in good hands. Our Father, I thank you that we are able to bring ourselves and our troubles and those of our loved ones, children, parents, spouse, relatives, friends, associates, we can bring every one of them to you. May we be reminded, oh God, as we see such need and such work of Satan, may we hear the Holy Spirit say, bring them to Jesus. May we do that, oh God. And may you, oh Lord, have compassion on them. As we've read so many instances in the last 2 days of your great compassion on your people, may we be reminded of that, oh God. May we receive your word. May we remember, oh God, your works of compassion. And may we bring our problems to you. We ask it in your name, that name above every name that God the Father has given you. We thank you, Father, for time to be together this weekend. I beg that I've rightly divided your word. If I have, oh God, let the good seed find fertile ground. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.